Hallelujah, God, Lord, we thank you, God, Lord. Our battles are won in worship and praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, Lord, that in the midst of, God, Lord, just exalting you, God, Lord, that our enemies scatter. Hallelujah. You said, if I be lifted up, hallelujah. If I be lifted up, Lord, I thank you tonight, God, Lord. We lift up your name above everything else tonight, God. We set everything aside. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we give you place right now. Come on, say, I give you place in my heart, Father God. I give you place to God, Lord, in my sight, in my vision to God, Lord, in my heart to God, Lord, in my hearing, God. I give it unto you, God, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Amen. Whew. All right, you may be seated. Children may go to their classes. Amen. Amen. I think you got another one, Chris. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited to go to class, like come to class as they are? Come on, amen. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you are. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but listen, there's some of those words in those songs, if you don't always understand it, what's is declaring, but first of all, that the second song that we sang, that I'm surrounded, I'm going to get about that. But the third song we said, that let incense rise, let worship rise. That means worship. That means praise and worship. Let it rise up. Hallelujah. Amen. Let it be lifted up in God's presence, that we exalt Him. He's worthy of it all. Amen. He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of your worship. Is He not worthy? Come on. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of your time. He's worthy of spending time and just worshiping His name. And I want you to see something, or something powerful, that those words, that second song where it says that I feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Come on, amen. I just want you, there's something, so those simplest song, it's the simplest song, but it begins to get you to say, wait a minute, sometimes I feel like I'm surrounded. Amen. How's it say? But I'm surrounded. That's it. So simple, I forgot it. But I'm surrounded by you. Listen, I want you to know that God wants you to experience Him with the understanding that you're surrounded by Him. Man, I want you to just stop for a moment, and that I want to always be at that place where that I feel that I'm surrounded by Him. Amen? Come on, that I'm surrounded by Him. That, man, that you feel surrendered, but there's something within you. Come on. That we be at that place where that we feel surrounded by God. Amen. That we feel overwhelmed by God. Hallelujah. That we realize that He's bigger than anything that I'm going through. Come on. He's greater than every dilemma, every problem that I face. Hallelujah. That I'm surrounded by what all God has. God wants you to know Him in that depth. Amen. But it takes something, and I want to get to it because this just came to my heart as I was there. I talked to the praise team before, but that we all have ears. You got ears? You got eyes? And just like we have that in the flesh, I want you to know that, listen to me, God wants you to open your heart, that spiritually we understand that we have ears to hear spiritually. Come on, amen? That we have ears to hear, and we have eyes to see, spiritual eyes. The Bible says that he has ear, let him hear what God is saying. Amen? Let him hear. So that means I want you to know that sometimes we have to be at a place. So what is it that I'm not in that place where I'm not hearing? What gets me there? How do I get out of the place where I'm not hearing or I'm not open to hear? And we want to just go through that tonight. But listen, I want to read that scripture because there was a guy that he knew how to hear. He knew how to see in the natural. Come on, amen. But it takes something. It takes faith to see in the spiritual and to hear in the spirit. Amen. That it takes practice sometimes, that you got to step out in faith, that you got to open your ears and say, God, I'm going to turn my head from other voices, from things that are negative. Come on. And turn my ear to hear what God's saying. Come on. What God has to say. What do you have to say about this matter? Amen. Because that's all that matters. Tell your neighbor that's all that matters. It all that matters what God's saying. Come on, amen? And we talked about this before. He said, but therefore, he says, and there was a servant of the great man Elisha. And Elijah was there, and it says that it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he gone forth, behold, out. He's having his coffee. He's standing on the porch. And when his eyes opened up, he looked out and he rubbed his eyes and he took another shot of coffee and he looked out there, and to his surprise and to his amazement, this is what he saw. And it says that he rose and he says that he looked and behold, there was a host compassed around the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, he says, Master, he says, how shall we do? What are we going to do? They're surrounding us. Come on, amen. Come on, I want you to hear this tonight, that sometimes you feel like you're surrounded by whatever that thing is. That there's times in our life you feel surrounded and you're not sure what you're going to do. And we have a choice in those moments what we're going to enter into. Come on, amen. I want you to hear this tonight. What are we going to step into? What are we going to grab hold of? What are we going to see? How am I going to see the situation? Am I going to hear with my natural ears? Come on. Am I going to see things with my natural eyes? Or am I going to open my heart and open up to the Spirit and take hold of what God and how God sees it? Amen. So I want you to see something. When you have a heart and you're obedient to say that you come hungry to God, you say, God, I want to hear, God, I want to be open to you, God, I want to be available, amen, I want to be open, I want to be able to receive what you have, that you hunger after, God, and you reach for God, God hears your cry, amen. Good to see Terry back. Come on, amen. She just had heart surgery. Come on, amen. Bless her. Look at her, man. She's still going. Amen. God bless her. I love her. Amen. Amen. You're surrounded. Amen. Come on, Terry. You're surrounded. Amen. Whew. He says, and he answered, fear not. He told him, fear not. I want you to know at that moment was the opening for him to receive, to hear in his ears, to hear in the spirit or in the natural. He gave him a word to receive first. You need to take hold of this word. You need to grab hold of it and hear what I'm saying. Fear not. I want you to know that he looked at him, he looked at them, and he says, I want you to know, I want to fear not like you do. Come on, amen. I want to experience it. I want to feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. Come on, amen. I might know that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by God. Come on, amen. That God's embracing me, that I'm surrounded by him. And he said, and he answered, he says, fear not, for they that are with us are more than them, hallelujah, that be with them. There's more with us. And I want you to stop and think that, guess what? We got to know that in our natural minds, in our natural hearing, that's not what we see. Come on, there's sometimes in your life, you got to be real with me tonight. Come on, there's sometimes that things don't seem like the way that God says they are. It might not feel like God says it is. But that's where we need to open our hearts and understand that we don't need to go by the natural, but we have spiritual senses. Come on, amen. We have to grab hold of what God says. Amen. We need to have our hearts and our eyes open to what God's saying. And he answered, he says, and Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray that this man's eyes be opened. Hallelujah. He asked the Father for his eyes. His spiritual eyes, to see what he couldn't see in the natural. I want you to know that we can go through all of our life experiencing just things in the natural and be defeated, or we can walk with the understanding that I'm surrounded. Hallelujah. I am surrounded. That God blesses me no matter what it looks like, no matter what I'm facing, I'm surrounded by him. Amen? Come on, amen. And he says, open his eyes. He says, that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses. What a sight. Come on, amen. He says, I want them to see what I see. Come on. And it just didn't come natural. I want you to know that Elijah came to a place of faith, that he walked this thing out. It just didn't come. It just didn't open up to him. But he began to walk out his faith. He began to walk out what God was saying to him, and he began to experience it and see the way things really are. Amen? And he said, and he went on and he said, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, and fire was round about Elisha. There was fire around him. He says, wow, man, look at this. He says, and when they came to him, Elisha, he said he prayed and the Lord smote the people, and the blind smote upon them, and blah, blah, blah. It goes on. He said, but I want you to see there's something powerful about that, that our eyes be open. I want you to know, and I just want you to stop for a minute, that I heard something, and it kind of reminded me of when I was growing up. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the 70s. in the 80s, more of the 80s. I was really little in the 70s, like baby stuff, you know, but that's, you know, just to kind of give you an idea how old I am. So, but I remember growing up, and help me tonight, but do you remember TV? I remember watching it on black and white. I remember watching it on black and white, you know what I mean? And it was great, you know, you didn't know any better. It was small little TV. But then you got color TV, but we only had three stations. I remember them, 21, 27, and 33. I always remember them. Because you're all day long.
27, 21, 33.
You had to go up and turn it. That's right, because I couldn't. It would always be one of us, because my dad would say, go turn the station, son. I was the remote. So, my daughter has no clue, man. You know what I mean? I'm going to hide that thing. She's like, whenever it's hit, whenever I sometimes I do hide it or I put it away or something like that so that I can control it. Because she doesn't go up to the TV. She doesn't know how to do that. Don't tell her how to do it. You push the button. And then you take and push the buttons to turn the stations. She thinks it's only operated by that. So don't say anything. Amen. Now, But I remember this. But I remember when I got married. I didn't have much, but one thing I wanted was cable. Listen, I was a happy married man, but I had to have cable. I wanted cable. I wanted to experience life beyond three stations. Other people talked about it, but I never knew what it was like. I never had that kind of life. But I remember the cable man came. Knocking on the door, and it was like it was Christmas. Man. Woo! Hallelujah. I was ready to open up the door. Come on in. That was one invited guest. And I remember him hooking us up cable. I remember hooking it up. And I remember him giving us the remote. I remember handing that remote to me. And you could just take and press guide. Randy. Everything opened up at that moment. 300 stations. Whoa! I couldn't believe, I didn't realize how much was out there. I opened it up and I seen this whole thing, all these ESPN4, all these different things. Everyone, that wasn't around yet, but there's all these different stations. I couldn't believe it. And then I realized half of them weren't worth watching anyways, but I had 300 of them. That's all that mattered. But I want you to know, and I want you to think about this, but listen, let me tell you something. It was always available. It wasn't like it just happened that day that I got. No, it was always out there, but it had to take me to connect to that. Hallelujah. That which was out there, I had to be at a place where I had to have him invited in, open up, that I get connected to what was already available for me. I want you to know that God wants you to be connected to what He already has given access for you to receive. Unlimited access. Come on, I want you to know that unfortunately we only access so much of God. See, we only access Him as Savior. We only access Him as part of the deal of what He gave His life. He just didn't die so that you could have life. He died that you could have life more abundantly so that you could see what He sees, that He can hear. It gave you the access to hear what He hears, to see what He sees, to open yourself up beyond your natural and walk in the spiritual because He gives you access and His name is Jesus. You see the difference here? See, it changes everything. So He's given me that ability. He's given that to me. I need to access it. I need to take hold of all that He has for me and to walk in all that He has. Listen. You are. I just say that. Don't. We are listening. Listen, Matthew. Matthew 11:28. Go with me there. I'm going to get a drink here in a second. It says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor, that are heavy laden, that are loaded, that you feel loaded. Come on, amen. That you're overwhelmed. I want you to know that, listen, somewhere, sometime. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow. But I'm not prophesying, but I want you to know there's times in our life, I don't care who you are, that you feel loaded. You feel overwhelmed. You feel heavy. Come on, amen. Help me tonight. You feel heavy. You feel the weight upon you. You feel the things, whatever that is, you feel surrounded. Come on, you might feel alone. You might feel empty that you don't have anything. And Jesus is declaring something. Come unto me. Come on. You need to get access. Come on. You need to take hold of what I have. Because what I have, he says, come unto me, you that labor, that are heavy laden. And you know, I tell you, I don't want to get off here, but I want you to know that he wasn't talking to the people that were in the world. He was talking to church people. He was talking, unfortunately, church people, people that went to church that were overwhelming themselves, that weren't in this access with God. Come on, amen. They weren't really experiencing God. Just like that prophet's, like Elisha's servant, where he wasn't experiencing the fullness of what Elisha was experiencing. You need to see what I see, because if you see what I see, come on, amen, you're going to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Nothing's going to defeat you when you see what I see. And he says, heavy laden, and I will give you... He says, come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I'm lowly of heart, and you shall find rest. Say rest. Come on. And he says, and you're unto your souls... He says, for your yoke is easy, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, for your souls. Because I want you to know that you're not meant to do this alone. He died on the cross so that you don't have to. So that you don't have to experience alone, but you can realize you're surrounded. Come on, amen? That you're surrounded. Come on. Come on, that you're surrounded. Hear me tonight. I want you to know that you're surrounded. I pray that your eyes be open, that you see in the spiritual of what he's given you access to take hold of. Come on, amen? For you to walk in. For you to experience. For you to taste and see. For you to understand. And it takes us to walk in it. It takes us to begin to move in it, to begin to operate in it. Takes us to choose. I want you to know that there's doors that we choose. And Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way. Walk ye in it. I'm the door. Listen, I want you to know that if Jesus says, I am the door, what? To the Father, to God, to life. He said, if I'm the door, I want you to know that there's other doors out there. Because Jesus even made the comparison. He says that you can take the narrow road or a broad road. He says, you could take the easy road, come on, or you could take the one that's narrow, that looks like it's hard, but I want you to know it begins to open up again. You begin to see things you didn't think you had. And when you begin to operate and begin to walk in through the doorway of what God has for you, you begin to operate. It's just like going down a road. That road that you go down, the only way that you can experience what's on that road is being on that road. The only way that you know is being on that road. What's next? Woo! Come on, amen. There is a fruit stand right up at the end of this road. You got to go see. They got the best fruit. Don't look funny. Come on. The only way you're on is if you're on the road. And you go a little bit farther and there's something more. Woo! I don't want to get off this road. But I want you to know that sometimes we get on roads and we begin to experience things. It's because what is on that road? What is on that road that we experience? And sometimes they're not always good things. Listen, I had a young man say to me, he says, you know, I prayed to God and asked him. He said, if you don't want me to go to this bar, God, Lord, you got to give me a sign. I'll give you a sign. Don't go! This kid struggled with it. He's struggling with that. He goes into bars and gets in a lot of trouble. You don't need a sign. I pray that your eyes be open. Don't go. Come on, sometimes we're waiting for a sign. What sign? To know, to do the right thing. Spiritually. Open your heart to say, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Help me tonight. Come on, amen? Am I right? Maybe I shouldn't go that way. Maybe I shouldn't do that thing. Sometimes we blame things on God because of the road that we're traveling. Maybe I shouldn't have went that way. Maybe I shouldn't, but it doesn't make God any more powerful because I've made the wrong choices and went down the wrong road. Come on, and experienced some of the wrong things, accessed some wrong things, but He was still the God that was willing to step on that road and get me off that road. Come on, and to bring me on a path of righteousness. Come on, amen. To bring me and lead me. Just like opening my eyes. Amen. He says, those that are heavy laden. But I want you to know there's somebody in the Bible, it's in Luke. And we know this sometimes, but I want you to see it from where I'm bringing it tonight. Luke 10. Luke 10, 38. I'm going to share something that Apostle Valentine shared with me, and I thought it was just revolutionary in my thinking. Just really changed my thinking. It says, but listen, he says, and it says, and now it came to pass, in Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and there was a certain woman, her name was what? Martha. And she received him. Listen, I want you to know that many of us, sometimes we receive God. But it's one thing from just receiving Him to truly accessing Him. To accessing everything that's available. To realizing the full resource of everything that He is, that He has. Because I want you to know that when we open ourselves up beyond just receiving, that we open ourselves up to access everything that He has and to walk in it, things begin to change in the way we think, see things. The way we experience things. That it doesn't just become a religious routine. Because she was just entertaining God. God just doesn't want you to entertain. It's not about you singing songs about God. He doesn't need to hear it. The angels, come on, 24/7 declare His name. Come on, amen. He's not in a way that He needs us to tell Him you're worthy. Tell me it again. I'm not being disrespectful, but hear what I'm saying. God's not standing there waiting for me to tell Him, you're great and mighty. I want you to know that He's never fallen off His throne. He's never lost His crown. Come on. He has the same authority. He is who He is. He's the same. He was yesterday, today, and forevermore. Even if I don't ever praise His name one time, or if I don't call Him holy, He's still holy. Because I've showed you the tape before, the stars, they put them together. Come on, we played that tape before. I do it once a year at least. And the whales and the stars, and they put together this tape of these singing, continual singing. And you listen to it and you're thinking, what are they singing? I want you to know they're giving glory to God. Just look it up on YouTube. Come on, the stars praising God. It will wreck you. It'll make you step back and say, holy, whoa, you're awesome, God. You don't need me to do that. Whew. But you make it available for me. Why? Because it gives me access to realize when I begin to worship and say, I feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. I begin to worship. It gives me access to open my spiritual ears, my eyes, to see it beyond what I can do. So it's more than just receiving. It's accessing. And he says, and a certain woman named Martha received Him. And I'm not bashing Martha. Come on, amen. Sometimes I'm a Martha. Sometimes you got to say, Martha, Martha, Martha. That's 70s right there. Come on. Y'all 70s right here, most of you. Come on. Don't even look at me that way. It says, and there was a certain woman named Martha, and she received them into her house. Next verse. And it says, and he says, and she had a sister called Mary. He says, which also sat at the feet and heard His word. Listen, this is the difference. Martha received Him, but Mary sat at His feet and heard His words. That is the key thing to accessing to what God has, is being in the presence. Emotionally, I want you to know that'll drive you away is whenever we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, it'll drive you away. I don't care what anybody says. When you're not doing the right things, it'll keep you from the presence. Not because God doesn't want you there, but because yourself doesn't think you're worthy to be there. So I want you to know there was something about Martha, that Martha was doing all these things to impress Jesus. She didn't have to do anything to impress Him. The only thing that impressed Him was Him, her being at His feet. Come on, amen. That her receiving what He had to say that was going to change her. It was nothing that she was doing. It was everything that He was saying that gives power. See, Mary was connecting to the thing that was going to cause her to have life. It says, and she sat, and she heard. Amen? Her spiritual eyes and her ears were being opened. Whew. And it says, but Martha was cumbered. She was overwhelmed. She was heavy laden. Heavy laden. I want you to see, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Come unto me. We go through life too much. Carrying too much stuff that we shouldn't be carrying. He's waiting for us to access Him in every area of our life. For Him to carry the load for us. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He was born in a manger. Come on. That's why He gave His life. That's why He rose from the dead. That you had access to everything, that you could be on that road en route to have everything that He has for you. That you could be an overcomer. And He says, and the Lord, dost thou not care? And He says that you're overcome about much serving, that you're serving. And I want you to know, work day tomorrow. Don't feel like you... I don't want to be a Martha. I don't think I need to get it. I had someone say that to me. I feel like I'm serving too much. He says, and serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me serving alone? That she's serving alone. I want you to know that Jesus at this moment is concerned about Martha. Has nothing to do with Mary. It doesn't have to do with her. It has to do with Martha at that moment, right then and there. Where are you? What's your decision? What are you going to do about this? I'm here. I'm available right now. I'm able for you to take hold of everything that I am, all that I am, all that I want to give you, Mary. I'm here for that. And He says, I'm serving alone. He says, bid her, therefore, that she come and help me. Tell her to come help me. Tell her. Tell her. No, this is what I want to tell you, Mary. Or Martha. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. He says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You are troubled about many things. You're overwhelmed by so many things. So many things have overwhelmed you. Listen, I want to help you tonight. This is what Apostle Valentine said, that so many times we're always in preventative instead of curative. Listen, we're always in that place that we need to be in preventative and not just in curative. Listen to what I'm saying. How many know that He is the God of miracles? He can cure us. God can heal us. He's the God of miracles. That's who He is. But I want you to know that sometimes we limit to God to that space of just the God of miracles. Instead of realizing that He's wise enough to speak to a situation in a problem that we're in right now before we need a miracle. How many of you know that God wants us to access Him not just when we need a miracle, but before it happens. Just like that young man, God showed me a sign. Giving you a sign to give everything I have. I gave you myself. Access me. Don't wait and get to a place where you need a miracle right now. So I want you to know He's telling Martha, Martha, you're overwhelmed by so much. Then listen to me. I'm giving you an example that you begin to present yourself. You take hold of what I have for you right now. This is the preventative thing that I'm giving you. This is the prevention to keep you before you have a breakdown. Before you lose it. Before you overwhelm. Before you see that you're surrounded. I want you to realize that I'm surrounding you. See, Mary, I want you to know that, listen, all those other things will pass away. But I want you to know what you have access right here, right now, before you. This is the preventative maintenance. How many know that we do that to our cars? You change the oil. Not whenever it begins to start tapping. Or when the sign says you have 1% left. My wife thinks that's what you're supposed to do. She goes, what does that mean? It means we should have done it 3 months ago. He says, but one thing is needful, Mary. And Mary has chosen. She's made a choice. There's been a doorway. There's been a road before her. And she chose to go down that road. Why do we sometimes don't? We have that choice to walk through what God has for us. But we choose so many times to carry what we have or to put a burden upon ourselves or to carry it on ourselves or feel like we're surrounded and look at a situation that way instead of realizing that I can walk through, I have access to walk through what He has for me today. Right now. It's available for me. I want you to know that every day we choose what door to walk through with our thinking, with the way we see things. Because you use your natural eyes and ears every day. We choose what we see. I want you to know that we choose whether or not to access what we have to see before us. What's available for us in Him. And choose what God's Word says. And receive it for our lives. Am I making sense? Four people. Good. Four. That's a pretty good sentence. But one thing is needful, Mary hath chosen the good part. That good thing. She's chosen that, which is not to be taken away from. It won't be taken away. Tell your neighbor, it won't be taken away. But one thing is important. Many parts. He said, but are accessing Him. But are we accessing Him? Matthew 7, 13 through 14. I'm going to read what he wrote. Just to give you some. This is what he gave me. He says, the old adage that prevention is better than cure. You remember that? Prevention is better than cure. Just stop and think about that. That's a wisdom. That prevention is better than cure. And it says, and it lends us much wisdom, the idea those called the proclamation of the gospel should not only preach curative and miracles elements of the Scripture, but also preventative wisdom. That we're not just to preach miracles, but preventative wisdom. Here's what, listen to what I mean by that. We should not represent God as a person who can only resolve problems after the fact. Man, this makes us think. Come on, that we look at God as that we access Him as only the God of miracles instead of realizing there's something more to our relationship. Presenting Him that way. That when you get in trouble, just call on God. That's true. That's true. Hear me. But there's something even greater. That if you walk through Him, you can access it before the problem. Whew. Amen? And He says, oh, I hate when this does this. Hang on. Can't live with them, can't live without them. We should not represent God as a person who can only resolve problems after the fact and lacks the wisdom to speak to our situations before they exist. Some represent God as though He is in a perpetual crisis management. Like He's in crisis management. And that who can only do miracles whenever after the fact. But He says, and did not strategize His planning, did not think about His planning. But God's wisdom is miraculous and curative. But it's also preventative. And it represents Him in all of the elements and all that He is. Preventative. Know Him. That He's the God of miracles before a miracle. That whenever we are surrounded, that we know that we're surrounded by Him. When you feel surrounded, that you know you're surrounded by Him. Whenever you're facing whatever that thing is, that you know that He's with you, that you have access to that. Amen? Come on, hear me tonight. Listen to this. I'm almost done. Sweat is making me itch this cologne. I don't have bugs. I don't think I do. I hope not. He says, listen, Matthew 8:18. Let me just give you these. I love this. This is, and now when Jesus, you all know the scripture, but I want you to see this is preventative maintenance. This is accessing Him before the problem, realizing that you have access to Him before you have a dilemma. See, that's the relationship that God wants with us. He's the God that we can call on when we're in trouble. I've done it. And the trouble that I've got in was something that was preventative. Y'all been there? He's still the God that I could call on. But when we begin to access Him at a greater measure before the dilemma, whew, see, that means I'm having an ear to hear what He has to say. Listen, I want you to know that every one of us, I want you to get this. This is the way God works. And the simplest way I can explain it is that you go through grades in life, in a sense, where you begin to access all that He has, and you begin to grow spiritually. Amen? The Word of God says that we begin with milk, and we grow into, we begin to eat meat. Come on, amen? We begin to eat more. We begin to eat more of a grown-up meal. We go from baby food to solid food. See, I want you to know, He's still the same God, but we begin to access Him in a different dimension. When I begin to go into third grade, I have the opportunity to access what that teacher presents to me. I struggle. Here's the thing with school, man. I didn't want to access whatever they had. I just wanted to go to recess. Just said yes to everything. Checked everything on the... I really got lucky with that. You know, the checking... You know, I used to write... I hit it a lot. I really did. I was, you know, 50-50 shot. I got it most of the time. I really did. Lucky. It's not good, though. But I want you to know that, listen, unless I was able to access what that teacher had for me, I could never go to the next grade. If I didn't receive what was there for me, presented to me at that level, at that stage, I had to repeat it. Unfortunately, sometimes us as Christians, that we don't go and move in faith beyond the second grade or third grade or fourth grade, whatever that level is, that God wants us to begin to know Him at a greater depth, a greater level, not just from the moment that you receive Him as your Savior, which is the access to God. But we get to know Him as the healer. We get to know Him as provider. We begin to go and know Him at different levels and stages. We begin to experience Him at a greater maturity that we can present. Unfortunately, we present the world a God that we just know Him at a certain level. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that they only know God as He's angry all the time. But when you begin to know that He's your Father, because you've let Him heal you, you let Him love you, you begin to go to the next level because you opened your heart to Him in faith, that you opened yourself up to Him. See, Martha was at a level where that she wasn't willing to do that because she felt like He had to see that, look what I'm doing for you, Jesus. Look what I'm doing for you. And she only knew Him as that part, that she had to work for Him, do all these things to impress Him. That's maybe what she used to know in her own religion. But that's not what He had for her. I want you to come up higher. She chose the right thing, and that's what we do. But I want you to know that God doesn't change. We do. We need to change. And I want you to, here's what happens, is if you are 20 years old and in third grade, help me. You hate the teacher. But it ain't the teacher's fault. You're angry at the school. You're angry. You're mad. But it's not God that doesn't want you to come to the next level. He just wants you to access what He's given you. Because unfortunately, we have to repeat second grade. Repeat second grade. I do not want to go through the whole year repeating what I did last year. I want to experience in faith and walk and grow. That mustard seed, it's not meant to be a mustard seed forever. Jesus could have used everything. Come on. We think we're all powerful and mighty. He could have said, listen, it's a skyscraper. The kingdom of God is like, faith is like a skyscraper. It's powerful. No. He knew who we were. He started at our level. He says, no, it's like a grain of mustard seed. It's a tiny little thing. But it wasn't meant to stay there. It was meant to go in your heart, to grow, to become large, overwhelming everything around it. That's what He said He wanted us to experience. He says, so here they were. He says, and Jesus, the great multitude, gave Him a commandment and they departed. He gave them a word. He gave them a word. He gave them a word for them to access, to receive, to take hold of. He said, let's go to the other side. Remember that word. Y'all get this. You know this. That He gave them the word. What did He say? Where are we going? Where are we going? Not halfway? Not that we're going to get overcome by anything? Nope, He didn't mention anything, did He? He said, we're going to go to the other side. It's all the stuff that He doesn't mention that really worries us. That's what we get caught up in. It's all the stuff that He doesn't give any mind to. Why? Because He doesn't see things the way we see things, and we mind those things that He doesn't see. We look at it different. He says, you don't see the way I see. You need to see what I see. Let's just go to the other side. Okay, so whatever Jesus is doing, I'm going to do. So they get in the boat. Listen. They get in the boat. Let me skip this. I had a whole nother... I'll do that maybe Wednesday. He says, and when He entered into the ship, His disciples, they followed Him. Good move. They followed Him. Great. They're stepping up. And He says, and behold, there rose a great tempest. They weren't out there very long. Are you kidding me? They're surrounded. They're in the... Did you do this on purpose? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because He's there. Doesn't matter what it looks like, because you need to know you're surrounded by Him. Hear me tonight, church. We need to see our eyes different. We need to open our hearts up different than what is going around us. Listen. And it says, and behold, there's a great... There arose. Say arose. Remember that word. A tempest in the sea, and as much as the ship was covered with waves. But He was asleep. Sleeping. One scripture says He had a pillow. He was really making Himself feel good down there. He was hanging out, sleeping. Where were they? They were upstairs. Their vision was different than His vision. He had His head on the pillow resting. They were looking at the storm. You look at the storm long enough, it's going to overtake you. But one of them says, let's get Jesus. They looked around and said, where'd He go? He says, He's sleeping downstairs. Let's go get Him. So it says they went downstairs. He says, they covered the waves. He says, and the disciples came to Him. They came to Him and they awoke Him. Listen, I just, this is good. It's good for me. I like this. You all right? I got Mitchie again. Sorry. Listen to this. We're looking for miracles, but I want you to know that we need to look at preventative. We need to understand preventative. He fell asleep. What door do we choose? What is Jesus choosing? What are the disciples choosing at that moment? What are they going to choose? Which way do they go? It says, maybe if they were asleep with Him. Maybe if they were asleep with Him, if they were laying beside Him where He was, they would have slept through the storm. The storm would have happened and they wouldn't even realize it happened. The ship was being overcome, but they were snoring. They were resting. The Bible says, come unto Me, all you that are heavy laden, and find rest. How many of you guys know that, listen to me, that Jesus told the one man that was sick and he had to be carried around in a bed. He told him, He says, after He prayed for him, He healed him. He changed His whole outlook of things. His bed was carrying him for all of his life. And Jesus specifically said to that man after He cured him, after He gave him a miracle, He said, pick up your bed and go home. Not now are you being carried by your problem, but you're carrying your problem. Hallelujah. You're overcoming your situation. Wow. You're surrounded by Me. Listen. And the storm arose. But Jesus arose also. He arose. Storms arise, but are we letting Him arise? Am I letting Him arise in my situation? Am I walking through and accessing what He has? We go through storms. I think it's so powerful for us to see that every one of us go through storms. But I want you to know, are we going to let Jesus sleep or are we going to rise Him? The storms are going to rise. Tell your neighbor they're going to rise. They're going to rise. But are we going to let Jesus? Are we going to let Him arise? Are we going to let Him get above our situation and our problems and the tempest and the things that are around us? Preventative. Preventative. If we just would just spend our time just being with Jesus, resting with Him and not concerned about everything else, that's preventative. I need to learn to be that way. We all need to learn to be that way. We need to graduate from the place where we're overwhelmed to the overcoming. So let me finish. And He says, and the disciples came to Him, and He says, and awoke Him, and He says, and Lord, He says, we perish. He says, we're going to perish. And remember the word that He said before? Let's go to the other side. The storm made them forget the word that was given to them. The storm made them forget the word that was given to them. Don't let your situation become greater than His word. It says, and He saith to them, He says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He says, then, He says, don't just stay. Listen, I want you to know, He's speaking to this, says, little faith. Little faith. Don't just stay there. But you're meant to be big. Because I'm big. You know what He says, be holy as I'm holy. What I am, I give you access to be. Why would God not tell us to be holy if we couldn't be holy? He's given me the ability through Christ that washes my sins away to overcome situations, to be holy as He's holy, to walk in what He has. Amen? And it says, and the winds, and He rebuked them, the sea, and there was a great calm. Wow. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? Wow. That even the winds and the sea obey His very words. They obey it. See, they seen what they couldn't see in the natural. They finally seen it in the spiritual. They seen the winds calm. The situations change because of His word. Ultimately, those disciples grew up. I had a whole place where I wanted to show you what Jesus, how Jesus was at Golgotha and went through and the things that He went through, and they deserted Him, all this stuff. But it ended up saying that eventually they all got back on that road. They all got back to that place where that they were walking and accessing everything that He has. And we could go on and read from that moment on where they began to access what He had. Began to walk in preventative maintenance. Experiencing Him in that way. And not just in curative. Amen? Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, God. And I pray to God, Lord, that each one of us can access to God, Lord, what You've made available. Every one of us, each person here, God, Lord, that we don't have to be overwhelmed, God, Lord, but we can realize we're surrounded by You. We're overwhelmed by You. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that this week I ask to God, Lord, that You open our eyes. I pray to God, Lord, that You just open our ears, our hearing. I pray to God, Lord, that we go beyond the natural and we move into the understanding of the Spirit, God, Lord, as we take hold of Your Word. Let us be awakened, God. I pray to God, Lord, as Your Word comes forth, that we hear it in our hearts to God, Lord, that it quickens something within us, that spiritually we are quickened to God, Lord, to that Word and begin to move in that, whatever that Word is that You've given to us, God. And Lord, I thank You for that, God, and we bless Your holy name. And to God, Lord, we just thank You so much to God, Lord, that You've made it available for us through Your Son. You're worthy of it all. To You be the glory. And we will declare that we are blessed and highly favored. Amen.